Welcome to Wellbeing and You with the counselling team at Western Sydney University. I'm Erin.
And I'm Paula. We're passionate about supporting students to make the most of the university experience.
With this podcast, we're going to introduce you to a few members of our team and tell you about many of the great services and resources here to help you at university. Let's get started. Paula, oh my gosh, how exciting is this? This is our first ever podcast.
No, it's very exciting, Erin. I'm so happy to be here doing this with you.
I know, me too. It is, when you suggested the idea of doing a podcast, of recording something, I was really excited because it was a little thought that I'd had kind of percolating away in the background, and I'm so glad to have found another kindred spirit in our counselling team who had the same idea, someone to do this along with. So
yeah,
oh, I'm really, I'm so glad that we've got the opportunity kind of to do this today. You know, and I was thinking that having this job is a real privilege. It's such an important job that we have with Western. And I think, you know, being a counsellor with this university really can change people's lives and can have a huge impact in their lives. I think we've been doing this for a while as well, so we've got a really good sense of what our job is and what it is that we do. But for people who might not be that familiar with counselling, what could you give us a little bit of a definition? What would you say counselling is all about?
Okay, well, that's a great question. So I guess just to put it really simply, the way that I see counselling is an opportunity to talk. It is a talking therapy, and it's about engaging in a process where you actually can talk through some of the problems perhaps that you're currently facing, some of the thoughts and feelings around those problems, some of the difficulties that come out of that as well. Mm. Often it's about then kind of helping to clarify the issues that are present in the room. It is about kind of engaging in a discussion around what are some of the issues and what are some of the things that might be helpful to keep in mind. So really a counsellor is someone who just helps to hold that space, to clarify, to guide, to explore, to encourage and to validate, I think, when somebody presents to you. And really it's about, you know, taking on a non-judgmental kind of stance often in the room, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Erin, but often it's about never truly knowing what somebody is going to share with you. Of being open and willing to just to hold that space, regardless of what somebody's about to share with you, you know, because it is a vulnerable space that people come to, and what they're doing is revealing that vulnerability in a place that perhaps they feel most safe to do that at that point in time. Right? So it's a real privilege, I think, to be a counsellor, because what you're doing essentially is you're witnessing somebody sharing something really personal and really deep and perhaps really meaningful to them at that point.
That's how
I see counselling. Yeah.
I always say that nobody comes to see a counsellor to talk about puppies and unicorns and rainbows. Like it's always really difficult stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think there's a real spectrum of how difficult those things can be. Sometimes there are problems that can be dealt with kind of fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And other times there are problems that are really big and really heavy for people. I agree, Paula. I think too it's about counsellors kind of hold on to this an attitude of curiosity in relation to their clients as well, that, you know, have to try really hard not to jump straight into, we don't try to give advice or tell people what they have to do. But I often find that just that process of talking something through with someone who's independent, not someone that you've already got a relationship with or a vested interest in whatever choices that you make, that having that conversation with an independent kind of third person helps you to think about it a little bit differently. Yeah. And it can shift part of the problem or help you, just talking it out loud, hearing yourself say some things helps you to make some decisions about how to take things differently, a new direction or a new path to take.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I really like that word independent. You know, I think that is such a powerful word because people come in as individuals, as independent individuals who really can actively participate in that dynamic that occurs in the room. And it's also about, you know, counselors allowing that to happen. So yeah, I do agree with that. But I also really like the idea of the relationship that occurs in the room. You know, it's a working relationship. And often that can cause a lot of themes to come up for either the counsellor or the client or the student. Mm. And so it's also about sort of addressing the relationship and, you know, really holding that in the room and acknowledging that it's a really powerful process, just being able to talk and share thoughts, yeah. share feelings.
Yeah. Being heard, being witnessed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Such a really powerful important. Thing.
Well, what would you say, Paula, for students of Western Sydney Uni, what do you think are kind of two or three of the really important things they should know about our service?
Okay. So I guess the first thing would be that, and this is my opinion, but it's an opinion that I hold very close to my heart. I think that the team is pretty awesome, you know, as a team, as a wellbeing unit team. You know, it's made up of professionals who are really genuine, who are compassionate, and really passionate about student wellbeing. Mm. So I think that's probably the first thing is that I have the privilege of working as part of this team, but that's my opinion, but I really do think it's important for students to know that we are a pretty great, lovely team.
Agreed, that offers, wholeheartedly. Yeah,
thank you. I thought you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the second thing is that, the team is made up of different professional backgrounds. So we all come from different backgrounds. And that really allows us to kind of bring, you know, an individual perspective to the room and to the work that we do. And at the same time, even though we all come from different backgrounds, we all provide a service that is very similar. It's inclusive, it's non-judgmental, you know, it's really focused on students' well-being. It's focused on assisting students really to fulfill their potential and to really work towards, you know, minimizing some of the barriers that come up for them that affect their ability to really reach their goals, whatever those goals are. So that's the second thing that comes to mind for me, yeah, that it's the service is an opportunity for students to really access different professional backgrounds and at the same time, you know, different experiences that come out of that for them in counselling. Yep.
I agree. I think too, you know, sometimes students are worried that there's a cost associated with our service, which it isn't. It's a free service for students of the university. And also that we're confidential. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are really worried that they'll come and see a counsellor and, you know, all of their lecturers and tutors, that everyone's going to know about that. So, you know, I think students are comforted often to know that we don't release any information about students without their permission, except where there are safety issues or risk issues. But generally, everything is confidential to wellbeing. So I think that's an important thing for people to know about
us. Absolutely, I agree.
The only other thing I would throw in there as well is just to say that we're still working and we're still here, even though, you know, we're not in the offices, we're not on campus, you know, we're working from our homes all over Sydney. We're still offering those phone and Zoom appointments if students want to have a consultation with a counsellor. That would be it. So, Paula, you've had a huge amount of experience before kind of coming into this role. And I think we were just chatting before and you've just had your first anniversary of, you know, working at Western. But do you feel okay to tell me a little bit about kind of the types of things that you did, a bit about your career before you came and joined us here at Western?
Yes, absolutely. So I've been working in mental health since about 2005. So I've worked both in the public sector and the private sector. So essentially, my work involved working with individuals, with families, working with different client groups. And as well as that, I have done a little bit of work sort of in private practice, providing counselling to individual clients. And I've found that was really a lovely experience, and it's such a therapeutic experience, particularly because I was learning so much. And I think absolutely that I've learnt from every position that I've had, I've really learnt so much. You know, I carry that with me wherever I go, and every new position that I engage in, you know, I'm bringing something to that in terms of what I've experienced. Yeah, so
I love talking to someone who is kind of is newer to the team, because I've been here for the uni now. I can't believe this, Paula, 10 years, a whole decade I've worked at this university. It was, you know what, it was a really delightful day when I saw that my long service leave had dropped kind of into my account. That was a real highlight. I'm looking forward to taking some of that long service leave when we're allowed to travel again. And my kind of background before coming to work at the uni, my background's in social work. I'm a social worker, and I've been working as a counsellor for 20 years altogether now. It blows my mind.
Wow.
Two decades I've been doing that. So 10 years here at Western, and in the 10 years before I came to work at the university, I worked as a sexual assault counsellor. And also in the court system, supporting victims of crime who are going through that legal process. So I came into the university with a bit of a trauma background. So I loved coming to work at the university, where there is still a little bit of trauma work here that we do. But I really enjoy the variety of this job. And I think, you know, that has been one of my favourite parts of this role. Has been, we work with students for for a time limited kind of amount. We're working with them while they're doing their degree. And that's been the real delight for me, is seeing students who I'm seeing right at the beginning of their degree, and getting to see them flourish and go on and graduate and move on into their next stage of their lives. I think that over 10 years, I've had the chance to see a lot of students do that. And I think that hands down is my favourite part of the job. How about for you, in this last year, what have you enjoyed about this job? What's been your favourite part of it?
Look, I guess it's similar to what you've just shared. I really like being a witness to a student's journey, and often it's about, and I've also had the privilege of engaging with students possibly more towards the end of their journey, and then being able to hear of, you know, what they've done once they've finished and they've graduated, and really it's almost as though there are different points in a student's journey where they can feel quite stuck. And so I think that once they've engaged in counselling and we can kind of be part of that journey with them, and if they allow us to be part of that journey, I think it's a really humbling process. So I do enjoy connecting with others. I enjoy being a witness to people's strengths, and also being able to hold that space when they're in pain and when they're suffering. So being able to validate them during those times is something that really warms my heart. Being able to provide something during
absolutely.
That time.
Absolutely. And this has been such a crazy semester, hasn't it? Like just how much the world has changed between kind of from February to here we are now. I think we're recording this end of June. It's about, I think this is the second week, the last week of that final exam period for the autumn 2020 session. And this is, I've never experienced a few months like this, Paula. It's just been, it's been crazy.
It has.
What What have you noticed amongst kind of your clients? What have been some of the things that students have really been grappling with and some of the challenges they've faced over the course of this crazy, crazy session?
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of challenges, I think. Mm. But I think that if I think about the themes, you know, that most students have presented with, it is around feeling quite stuck, feeling quite helpless in this present time due to, I guess, all the changes happening around them. And a lot of the times it's out of their control. And most of what's happened has been out of everyone's control. And yet it's had such a, you know, intense and deep impact on our lives and how we kind of structure our days and so forth and so on. So I think that feeling stuck is a very common thing that I've seen. Worrying about the future, not knowing how long this will go on for, not knowing when things will return to normal or what that normal will look like. So a lot of worries about the future. Isolation has been a big one, feeling really isolated. Often, and I think this is probably something that I really appreciate more now, often students attending university is one of the few social contexts that they have.
Yeah.
So taking that away, therefore, really adds to how isolated they might feel.
Yeah.
And so feeling isolated has been a big thing. And I guess just feeling pushed and challenged, and often not having the internal resources to, you know, face those challenges, feeling quite empty at times. Yeah. Mm. And I think that I can relate to that as well. I think that the changes that happened, they were so intense and so quick.
Yep.
So pervasive, really, that it was difficult to keep up. You know, it felt like we had to keep up with so many things at once, and running on empty is a common theme that we have to continue doing what it is that we'd like to be doing or that's required of us, or what's expected of us. And I guess often not having the resources to do that is often another theme.
Agreed. I think, you know, the advice I always used to give students, the thing I see, students who do really well tend to get out of the house to study. They treat uni a little bit like a job. They set themselves shifts, uni shifts, and they get out of the house to go and do that work. They might come to class, kind of come to uni, come to campus early, do a bit of work, stay back after classes, get as much work done as they can off campus. And then all of that was completely flipped on its head, where all of a sudden, you know, we're all having to work and learn and study from home. Mm. And I think that's been such a hard thing. And I think this crosses the boundaries both of workers and staff of the university and also our students, that we've had to figure out how to create a space at home where we can kind of work productively, how to navigate that around our other relationships as well. Mm. I know, you know, when I first started working from home, I'd set up a really great space in my kitchen. It was very comfortable, very close to the fridge and snacks. And then probably on the first or second night, I was trying to cook dinner and the computer was right there. And I thought, oh, I'll just check my email. And the next thing I knew, I was sat at the computer and my dinner was on fire. So I learned pretty quickly that actually I'm going to have to try and find a space and find a way of delineating kind of these two roles of being able to make my home time my home time, and not have, you know, work kind of blur into that. And I think that's been a real challenge for students as well, to really, how do you carve out a space to dedicate to your studies, to keep going with it, you know, when we're trying to work in an environment that's not necessarily really conducive to that. So,
yeah, that's a really good point, Erin.
It's been huge. Yeah, that's it's huge, been a crazy, crazy semester.
Yes, it has.
I hope that we're slowly starting to trundle towards a new normal. I think I'm looking forward to, you know, getting back to campus when we can. I think
that's good. Me too. Yeah.
So, Paula, I think that we're coming kind of pretty close to the end of the time that we have today. And that's my favourite line to wrap up a counselling appointment to. we're out of time today. So let's last question for you. For anyone who's feeling a bit blah or a bit down at the moment, what do you reckon is the one thing that they could do that will start to give them a little boost that could improve their well-being a little bit?
Yeah, okay. So I know you just said what's the one thing, but I guess my one thing is made up of three small parts. And that is, I guess, just noticing what's happening for you at any given moment is a really powerful thing to tap into. Often we kind of operate on autopilot mode and do what we need to do and get it done. And often there's not a lot of thought that can go into this. So I think just remembering to notice what's happening for you and then to acknowledge what you might be feeling or what you might be thinking. And, you know, acknowledging is a form of validating as well, you know, and it's okay to feel the way that I feel. It's okay, you know, to have these thoughts. Validation is a really powerful process. Self-validation is something that I would really encourage everyone to do. And then, of course, engaging in some sort of behavior, some sort of action that works for them in that very moment. It's almost like a process of stopping and engaging mindfully and then doing what works for them. I think that's probably the one thing that I would encourage people to do. And it's about choice as well. It's about having choice to do what fits for them and what works for them at the end of that process. So that's one thing.
Do you know what, Paula? I would say get out and go for a walk. Get some physical activity. And I think my guess is, Paula, that is probably going to be a common theme along our podcast, because I'm always banging on about how important getting out and going for a walk, how important physical activity is. And as little as kind of 5 minutes of moderately intense physical activity can really give you a boost to your mood. It improves your concentration, your memory. It is so important. And I think in this current context where a lot of us have been cooped up at home for a really long time, we're nowhere near as active as we have been. I know that my Apple Watch is often telling me it's time to get up and move, Erin. So that's the one thing I would say that you could do today to really make a difference to how you're feeling and to give you a boost to your well-being. Well, Paula, I reckon that's it. I think we are out of time for today. Thank you so much for giving me the gift of this time. I've really enjoyed our chat today.
Me too. Thank you, Erin. Yeah, it's been lovely just, you know, being here with you. Even though we're not together in person, we are sort of, it does feel like we are together in cyberspace somewhere. So thank you.
Side by side on my Zoom screen. Side by side. Two little Brady box squares. Absolutely. Sitting side by side. Mm. And I must say, I can't wait to do this again.
Me too. I look forward to it.
Yeah, we look forward to it. So we can't wait to have you all back again for our next podcast. Over the course of this series, we want to introduce you to a few members of our team and also just clue you in on some of the services and let you know about some of the things that we do and the things that are here to support you that you may not know about. So keep tuned for future podcasts, and we look forward to talking with you again soon. Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.